And we're continuing our series on Sermon on the Mount. By the way, if you want to be on our ministry team, or if you want to be trained further for ministry, because at this church, we don't want to just have people that show up to church, get their word, get their bread for the day, and then leave. We have an amazing school of revival connected with Saturate as well called The Commission. And you can sign up right now. Not sign up right now. You can apply right now because we have standards for the school. You can apply right now, and we'll waive the application fee. But we'd love to have you apply for that. You can talk to Jess Jerusik right here if you want to be a part of that school. In our next round, we start in February. So now's the time to sign up. I love teaching those classes. It's like one of my favorite things to do during the week. I'm tired. It's 7 p.m., so they get like the raw me. Anyone else like that that has little kids, if you like get up early in the morning, like around 7 p.m., you start to get more and more useless. 7:30, I'm like, why am I so tired? Why is it so dark outside right now? I don't understand the darkness at 5 p.m. And then you're like, oh, I got 2 more hours before the kids go to sleep, and I'm already ready for bed. Nobody? All right. No, I have so much energy because I nap during the day. Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. A lot of Christians, well, churchgoers, I should say, stop too soon in this passage, and they read, beware of practicing your righteousness, and just leave it there. They're like, well, I don't want to make a show of it. I don't want to get in front of people and like show everyone my righteousness. I can't give to this homeless guy right now. I can't share the gospel right now in my workplace, because I don't want to make a show of my righteousness. Everything needs to be done in secret. That's not what Jesus is actually talking about right here. Jesus is giving us a warning for our sake. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. So the most important thing about that initial sentence is in order to. In order to be seen by them. How much in our world right now is everything done in order to be seen by somebody else? Almost every single thing, right? Like we even call it the secret place, right? How much does the secret place end up online? Anyone ever posted about their secret place? I have. Like sitting like, I take a picture of my Bible. I'm like, this is what I'm doing in my secret place. This is how I spend time with my Father in heaven. The door is closed, but it is open to Instagram because I want everyone to see it. But in order to, the motive behind it is so important to Jesus. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. See that? No reward. That kind of blew me away when I read it. Jesus says you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven if you practice righteousness in order to be seen by others. This is where a lot of your burnout comes from. This is where a lot of your, I don't understand why life is so confusing. I don't understand why this is so hard, is you trying to please other people. The biggest human need, by far, the biggest human need by far is to be loved, and more than anything is to belong. I know a lot of people, like men will say this too, but like if someone says, oh, Parker, you're so loved, you're so loved. I'm like, I don't really care. I want to be useful. I actually want to be strong. I want to bring something to the table. You know, during World War II, during the Blitzkrieg, they had all these men in mental institutions. Men in mental institutions and going to psychiatry every single day. They were filled, right? They have anxiety about the war starting. They're not sure what they're supposed to do, but the Blitzkrieg hits London. And those hospitals start emptying out. And people stop going to the appointments. All the psychiatrists in town, and it's recorded, they don't have anyone to meet with. Why? Because all these men became useful all of a sudden. Because everyone else is shooting guns, getting across, trying to figure out how to get across the English Channel. And all these men are all of a sudden, they're firefighters. They're cleaning rubble up. They're finding survivors. All of a sudden, they're useful. And they're belonging to a group of people doing something together. That's why we say so often in this church is not about community. Just let that sink in for a second. It's not about community, because the best community actually comes from people going to war together. Think of the closest people you are to in your life. They went through hard times with you and they were walking the same direction. The people that are closest to in your life are not people that you sat around in a circle with and said, we're going to have community now. That's not how human beings actually work. How it actually works is you're all focused on the same goal. And in our case, it's expanding the kingdom of heaven. It's plundering the gates of hell. It's seeing the lost saved. It's delivering people from demons and all of their bad habits as well through a sanctification process by the Holy Spirit and seeing this church explode. Why? Because there's lots of hurting people. There's lots of people that need Jesus, that need to belong, but they don't realize in order to belong, they need a vision, they need a mission in their life, and that focus is actually Jesus. After all, it's actually Him. He's the point. You know, I remember belonging. Belonging is the deepest human need, and if you're hungry for belonging, you'll drink and eat at almost any table. That's how I see most people. That's how I see the world as I see it today. Look at the whole LGBTQAI movement. And however many acronyms they want to add. It's a movement of trying to belong. And it's amazing to me how much we do the exact same thing. We will eat at any table because of our fear of not belonging or our fear of people not liking us. It's one of our deepest fears. I remember in high school, I was actually bullied a little bit. My freshman year, my parents would actually remember. My freshman year, there's this one dude, and I won't mention his name because he might be saved at this point or something. I don't know anything about him, but I don't want to, like, call him out. But my freshman year, I was in the same Spanish class with this kid, and he was probably at least twice my size. I was probably 30 or 40 pounds lighter in high school, about 160 pounds. I remember him harassing me every day, telling me I was gay in every single class that I went to, pushing me in lockers, trying to get me to fight him, which obviously I had no chance. And I knew I had no chance. I knew I'd probably throw one punch and be decked on the floor. He's like a wrestler kid, right? You know, wrestler kids in school, they're always kind of like messing around with each other and like poking at each other. It's a hard sport. But I think for me, all I wanted to do was belong. So in so many circumstances and situations like that, I was bullied all the way through high school. And then I looked at myself now, and I'm like, that's probably why I work out so much. Is that why I have a problem? Do I have a problem? Is this a wound that I haven't dealt with, and now I exercise like a maniac so I'm not scared of some random person from 20 years ago? Whoa, high school was 20 years ago. That's really weird to say. And then I remember my senior year actually moving to a brand new high school. So I was in a high school of about 800 kids in Spokane, Washington, and moved to a high school with 4,000. So my graduating class was 800 kids. And like girls are doing like cocaine in the bathroom and stuff. It was Southern California. I was like, this is new. It's really different. But I remember every single day at lunch, because I had never been to a school that's all outdoors. So in California, everything's outside because it never rains, right? We pump all our water in from other states. It's basically a desert with water pumped in. And I'm standing outside every single day wondering where I'm actually going to sit for lunch. And I think some of us in our lives, and you can feel that discontentment inside you sometimes, where am I going to sit for lunch? Where am I going to sit for lunch? Where am I going to go? Who do I belong to? Who do I belong with at this church? And the first time you get offended, or the first time someone crosses you, or the first time someone says, you know, I can't hang out today, or the first time like something comes up in your gut and it's not that actual person, it's you wondering where you're supposed to sit for lunch that day. Where do I actually belong? And this is what Jesus is actually warning us about. And he gives us a solution. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And you're like, okay, thanks so much, Jesus. My Father in heaven will reward me. How many times have you gone through life and you're like, if you just do this secretly, if you just do this the right way, I'm so confident my Father in heaven will reward me. And you're wondering, wait, what's the actual reward? Like, what's he giving me? Because what I'm getting when I post on Instagram and I get the likes, when I get an amen from the crowd, when I do the right thing at work and my boss says, great job, when I get a raise, when I do all the things in public, like the world tells you to constantly do in public, what do you get? You get that hit. You get that opiate hit. And it does the exact same thing to your brain. That's why social media is so difficult for us. That's why it always kind of draws us back in, because that little dopamine hit every single time. Every single time. It's free dopamine. You didn't work for it. You didn't do that much for it. But every single time someone likes it, every single time someone comments, and even when you get into arguments, there's that same hit. Oh, someone's paying attention to me. I matter. Right? And we keep going back to it because in public, so many times, our reward, what we're looking for, is affirmation from other people. And whatever you look at for in affirmation, whoever you look to for affirmation, is going to be your slave master. They own you. Whatever you're looking to for affirmation is actually your slave master. This is why so many people have a hard time in the church. This is why so many people have a hard time in relationships, because you're desiring, and in marriages too, if you're desiring affirmation from your spouse or desiring affirmation from your leader or pastor that's going to completely fulfill you, you're going to be a slave to them, and you're going to think they're cruel because they can't actually fill your tank. They never can. They can never fill you up all the way, because you were put on this earth to actually give. You were put on this earth to actually pour something out. And that's what Jesus is saying. Your reward comes from your Father in heaven. Be rest assured. And I'm not talking about when you die, you're going to have some cool mansion in heaven in the mountains. At least that's what I picture. I like picture weird stuff about going to heaven. Like, I'm going to be riding a giant eagle, like in Lord of the Rings, and like soaring over my giant mountain mansion with a lake in the back, and there's going to be fly fishing, catch and release, obviously, because it's heaven, I think. There's going to be like a ribeye tree in my backyard. Like, there's got to be grilling somewhere happening in heaven. Like, where's the party actually at? But so many times we think, oh, well, when I die, I'll have my reward. But what's his reward? We'll get into that in a second. Because I think it's hard for us sometimes to put the drugs down of affirmation, to put the drugs down of attaboys, and say, oh, my Father rewards me. Jesus gives us an answer. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. If our greatest longing and our greatest need as human beings, if we will just admit that our greatest longing and our greatest need as human beings is just to belong to someone and know that, you know what, everything's going to be okay. Sometimes you just wake up in the morning and you're like, I just need to know that everything's going to be okay. That's what a father does. That's what a good dad does. Even if you think of like a regular household, everything's chaotic, right? So like when we lived in California, I mean, we were broke. We were never poor. We didn't allow that word in our house, but we would say, we don't have any money, so we broke. I'm looking for change in the couch to buy Diet Cokes for my wife. Like, we were broke, right? We had checks bounced that we sent to rent, I think 4 or 5 times, but I didn't sit my 2-year-old son David down and go, look, man, things are really tough right now. I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to be able to get you food today, not 100% sure if we're going to be able to stay in this house. We might get evicted if we don't get some kind of miracle in these next couple of months. We might not just have to post up here and bar the door. You know, I didn't worry to that level, but there is a worry inside me. And I don't go to my wife and say, look, babe, look, all this is super chaotic. It's not going to work out. What I'm feeling is it's not going to work out. Like, I'm feeling super insecure about literally everything. I'm not really sure what to do. Da, 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 da. A good dad doesn't really do that. I don't tell my two-year-old, hey, we're not sure where it's going to come from. I just love him, enjoy him, and find a way. Now imagine the heart of your Father in heaven when it comes to your prayers, when it comes to the way that you think about him, when you think about trying to get affirmation from other people. Let me tell you how quickly that affirmation goes away. How quickly it dissipates. How quickly it doesn't mean anything. Think about the most famous people in our world right now. The most famous people in our world right now. How often do their kids end up dying of drug overdoses? They can't stay with one partner for more than a year or two at a time. They're constantly searching for more affirmation from someone else. Well, you didn't affirm me right, so I need another person. You didn't affirm me right, so I need another person. You didn't affirm me right, so I need another person. Well, maybe drugs will make me feel better. I'll stick with drugs and alcohol. I'll stick with drugs and alcohol. And they see their life start to circle the drain because they're looking for affirmation from a million different places. And these are the people that are the most successful people in the world. And we say, wow, they're so successful. Like, take a guy like Jeff Bezos, for instance. Like, God bless him for thinking of the idea of Amazon. I love it, especially in a place like Hampstead, because I'm just like, I don't want to drive an hour to Wilmington. I would rather wait 2 days. I'm not sure how that, like, math actually works. But as soon as this dude retires from his job, he's got to actually live with his wife. And they get a divorce a year later. And they figure out a way to make it a tax-beneficial divorce somehow. I don't know how they did that, but the reality of it is, like, the dude couldn't keep his family together. Is that success? He's got $1 billion, and he couldn't stick with one woman. What's success actually look like? What's winning actually look like in the kingdom of heaven? It looks like it happens in secret. You need to ask yourself a question today. Are you driven by a slave master or are you drawn by Christ? Are you driven by a slave master or are you drawn by Christ? Because you will always be enslaved to the thing that you look to affirmation for. Always. And you will end up resenting the people or the person that you're looking for your fulfillment from because they can't give it to you. They can't give it to you completely. They can make you happy. They can encourage you sometimes, and that's good. But you won't find what you're looking for. Right. Let's talk about the reward here. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, listen to that, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Some of us are struggling with, how do we do evangelism? How do I invite someone to church? How do I be kind? How do I raise a family? How do I do this thing, marriage, well? How do I do it better? You have to do it out of a place of abundance. You have to do it out of a place of complete abundance, especially when it's difficult. Because that affirmation that you're looking for from people, the affirmation you're looking for from fame or wealth or whatever is in your heart will always end up making you an empty shell. It always takes from you. It pulls from you. It pulls from you. It pulls from you. And it doesn't actually give anything back. How many people at the end of their lives, and you hear this 1,000 times, how many people at the end of their lives are laying on their back going, man, I wish I would have spent more time on my phone. Wish I would have grammed a little bit more. Like, that's the millennial version, right? Of, I wish I would have worked more. That's the millennial version. Laying on your deathbed going, man, if I just would have gotten that one more post up before I died. If I could have just gotten some more affirmation from people, things would have been better. If I could have just had that big church, that big ministry, that big business, if I could have just had those things, all those things are worthy of going after if you are coming out of a place of abundance already. If you're not in that place, that business, that church, that ministry, that marriage is going to own you. And nobody likes to be owned. And you'll begin to resent the situation that you're actually in. Verse 9, it says, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. I want our church to realize with what Jesus is talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount, every single one of us needs to realize that the best things are done in secret. And the best harvest was sown months, years, days ago in secret. So a lot of you would focus on your failures and say, God is not rewarding me. God is not rewarding me. God is not rewarding me. But let me tell you something specifically about your failures. Specifically about your failures in life. The business that fell apart, the relationship that crumbled, all those things that have taken place in your life. All the abuses, all the difficulty, all those things you've gone through. God is taking those things for good or for evil, whichever they were. He's taking those things and he's shaping you into the type of person that is only dependent on him. Because when things get truly dark, when things get truly difficult, what are you going to look to? Affirmation from a person? When there's no money in the bank, who are you going to ask? What are you going to look to? Too many of us sow seeds that are actually weeds over and over and over again, and we come back months later and look at the field that we've sown and say, well, why is it all weeds? You've been sowing into fame. You've been sowing into the likes. You've been sowing into the affirmation from other people. You've been sowing into success, as the world says success is. You've been putting those seeds in the ground, and then you walk away from it because, like a good farmer, any smart person knows, that you put a seed in the ground, and it's actually supposed to grow. Right? You come back and you go, well, there's no wheat here. Where's my reward, God? And he said, I gave you a seed that's different that you were supposed to sow in the dark. I was supposed to actually bury you. You were supposed to do this while no one could see, so you only got the reward from me. The reward that our Father in heaven actually gives is him. That's why Jesus immediately talks about the secret place after good works. Secret place is everything. Every single season that I've gone through, that is the only thing that has ever saved me. Yeah, that's so good. It saved me when I'm getting accolades, and it saved me when I was getting none. It saved me when nobody knew who I was. It saved me when we started this church. It saves me every single time because his presence is the reward. Too many of us are going to the secret place with a list of things to get from the Father when we can have the Father and everything else thrown in if only we put him at the top of the list. We're trying to get things from Dad. Dad, please give me affirmation. Give me success. Give me a growing church. Give me the biggest thing. Give me this. Give me that. Give me that. And he's like, I'm here. What else do you need? And we're like, well, that Parker, that doesn't really sound like all that great. I want to encourage you today. that if the presence of God is not the central focus of your life and inviting him into your life in every single space imaginable, then you're a slave to something else. Something else owns you because you have an agenda with God and pretend that he can't see it. I think that's the most hilarious thing in the world because I do it all the time. Like you go into the secret place and you're like, all right, God, I'm feeling a little bit emotionally down today. So what I need is like just like a little boost. Like I need like a little like coke hit from heaven right now. I just want to be happy. You know what I mean? I just want to be happy. Just a little bump and then we'll move along the day. And he's like, I'm here. If you just took joy in my presence, you wouldn't be so unsteady all the time. You wouldn't be wondering where it's, and people are like, well, God's being silent. I'm like, he's being what? How silent do you mean? He built a whole society off this book, or we've built a whole society off this book. It is the only literature our entire society is built off of. That's why people say please and thank you and wait in lines. It gets that deep into our culture, the Bible. It's wild. And we're like, oh, what's God saying? He's not speaking to me. You're wanting him to jump into your life when you can't put your pants on in the morning and say, I'm going to give you great success. You're like, find your keys, get your pants on like a big boy, get into the rhythm of life, read the Bible, what it actually says, get in the secret place, because when the time comes for you to actually seize the moment, you will have to draw from the secret. It is the secret, capital T, capital S. Yep, yep. We'll rob it straight from that stupid book. The secret is his presence. Right. It's not the manifestation stuff. Right. It's not praying for exactly the thing you want. The first priority for every single person in this church, including myself, has to be his presence. Right. Without his presence, we have nothing. He has life itself. And if we're thinking, I'm not sure how great that actually is, all you have to do is start to ask God for the hunger. Right. Don't be silly about it, right? A lot of people are like, I'm so desperate for God. I'm so desperate for God. But they're actually not really desperate for God. They don't actually want his reward. They want people to see them being desperate for God. That's a lot of my problem with the charismania stuff. It's like you manifest the same way every single time. It seems like you've got some kind of religion attached to this. It's like you're like only if you manifest in this way, then the Holy Spirit is actually touching you. But someone standing still in the back with tears rolling down his cheeks in silence, in repentance, is the Holy Spirit moving on that person in a charismatic way? I think it's important for us. It's the priority for us to close the door and let our Father reward us. If you're wondering what's going wrong in life, or if you're wondering why you don't have the peace that passes all understanding, or you're wondering why you can't seem to get things in order, then it's important for you to realize what Jesus is saying here about closing the door. Just shut the door. That should be the only response for us. As soon as things go haywire, as soon as things get great and you have too much too soon. Because sometimes you get famous or you get a bunch of money or your business starts to take off. That's even scarier for me. Because all of a sudden you're like, whoa, the bar is high. What am I supposed to do now? That happened to us in Saturate in California. It was like all of a sudden we have a few house churches of like 12 people each, right? And we're not really sure what we're doing. Then there's thousands of people getting baptized on the beach in Southern California. And I'm like, oh, I'm not sure what to do but pray. See, both ends of the spectrum are going to test you. How and why you do the things that you actually do. Because a lot of people pray for success, but they don't actually know what that means. In the kingdom of heaven, it means responsibility. And you can't just sit around and go, man, I hope God's speaking to me. I hope God's speaking to me. I hope God's speaking to me. Do you know what he sounds like? Do you know what he sounds like? Is this your actual daily bread? Is what you wake up and have every single day? It's amazing to me that Christians, so many, make decisions without even consulting the Word of God first and going to prayer and then going to other people. Right. Because you know what they really want? You know what we really want? Is we want to be our own little gods. And if we pray in secret, we're no longer God anymore, because it's just us and him, and we're confronted with his actual presence. You see, you can be a hypocrite. You can be in front of people. You can preach like I'm preaching right now and have none of those things actually going on in private. Right. Right. Lots of people have fooled lots of people in that way. Right. You can do it so easily. And the God, you know what that ends up becoming for a lot of pastors and ministers? Y'all. Oh, so-and-so said this. We've got to change it. So-and-so said this. We better move it. Oh, so-and-so said this. I've got to change. They're not happy. We got to make them happy. Make them happy. Make them happy. And it happens the same way to every single person. Right. And we step into what Jesus actually tells us to do with closing the door. Our reward is our actual Father in heaven. And what do we reap? We reap a harvest of what? Righteousness. Yeah, so good. Of goodness. Purity, mercy, the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing he wants to give you for your next season, what he's pointing you toward, all happens in secret. It all happens in secret. I am fearful of people stepping into their calling without having been in the secret place first. And I mean for years. It terrifies me that people make decisions without the presence of God involved, because they're looking for affirmation elsewhere, because they want that drug. So how do you do it? Well, Jesus is really clear. Here's the thing. A lot of people ask how to do secret place, and some of that form is really important. But let's get super straightforward here. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues at the street corners. This is verse 5, Matthew 6. That they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. Did you hear that? The God of heaven and earth is in secret. Isn't that a weird thing? Because I think a lot of people ask, like, why doesn't God just show himself? Well, the incarnation is important. Jesus did show himself. But when we see that our Father who is in secret, so a lot of times we think we're closing the door and the Father is coming to us. Don't we? We get on our knees and we're like, Father, Father, I need your presence here. I need your presence. I need your presence in my secret place. I need you here right now. And he's like, I was literally here the whole time. And that's a promise. It's not just, it may not feel like you want it to feel. It may not be the vibe you want it to vibe sometimes. It may not be exactly what you may not get some crazy revelation out of the word the second you step in the secret place for the first time, or even sometimes after months of doing the work on your relationship with God. It won't feel always like you want to feel, because once you step into his throne room, which is what you're doing when you go to the secret place, imagine that. Imagine stepping into the King of the Universe's throne room on a daily basis. What does that look like? Well, I think most of the time you just shut up. Like, imagine running into the King of Heaven's throne room and going, or any earthly king, if you can even understand that. Let's say a dictator of some kind. You're like, I have a list of demands. Here they are. I'd like a new car. My job is really hard right now. I'm a little emotionally strained. If you could just give me a new job, that'd be great. Also, God, if you could just help me to like just lose weight magically, like I keep seeing on Instagram, some of these things like anointing oil, that's like their weight disappeared. Seriously, that's floating around right now. It makes me laugh every time. I can't, even if it's real, I'm like, come on, man, this is weird. Imagine just going into that throne room with a list of demands. He wants you to have good things in your life. Every good and perfect gift comes from our Father in heaven, right? every good and perfect gift. But what does he want you to have more? Him and an understanding of who he is. So I understand that when the first thing that I do when I step into his presence, every single morning that I'm awake to be with him, is I shut up. What do you have to say? Maybe what the King of the universe has to say is more important than what you're worried about. And maybe if we can figure out how to shut our mouths and shut the noise off, then the things that we think are big deals, if we magnify him, they become small. You're like, oh, no problem. I can't believe how small this actually was. Imagine being able to see all of eternity from start to finish, or all of time from start to finish. You've got it all in your hand. You've got it all under control. And you've got these kids running around on the earth worried about what you're going to do. Worried about their lives, worried about their calling. And he's like, I gave you simple instructions. Get in the secret place. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else is secondary. Literally, Jesus says, this is the greatest commandment. Everything else is secondary. You're like, what's my calling? It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as myself. What's my job? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. What should I do with this person in my life that I'm mad at? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor what? As yourself. And the more time that you spend with the Father, you realize how much he actually loves you. And if you're having a hard time loving your neighbor or someone that actually lives in your household, usually it's because you're trying to get something from them and trying to, instead of trying to give something to them. Oh man, I really need you to XYZ and this will be better. I need you to XYZ and our friendship will be better. I need you to XYZ and then this church will be better. But we don't show up to pour out. We show up with a list of demands. Because those demands will help us belong better. Have you ever noticed that the weird things you pray for, especially when you're new in your walk or if you just don't have a clue, the things you're praying for your Father in heaven to give you are many times to impress other people and you don't even like them. How many times have you bought something? Take the iPhone, for example, right? Everyone has one because everyone has one. Right? At first, people were buying them to impress other people. And now people with Androids get made fun of. It's like, oh, green text. Thanks, man. You just ruined the whole group. Now we can never talk. Right? And we would have something else if we could. How many cars do we want? Or how do we buy clothes, no matter what it is? It's to look and feel a certain way in order to belong so many times, and it's not something we actually want or like. At least we could start by being honest with what we actually want, and then God can do something with it. He's like, no, you actually don't want that. That's a projection of some other weird things because you want to feel like you belong. How many times have you prayed for something and God gave you something else? And you're like, whoa, this is way better. I didn't even know I wanted this. And he's like, yeah, that's what you actually like. I know you better than you know yourself. You're like, but I wanted this, God, you gave me this. But this is weird. This is growing on me. Right? Like, this is growing on me. It's strange. And our reward so many times in the secret place is just his presence. Now, imagine being so free from all the attachments that you have to the world and all the things that you're just trying to achieve, all the tasks that you have in front of you for every single day, all the people, all the relationships you have to manage. Imagine being so free from that that you can actually step in to the secret place in the morning and just enjoy him, and he can enjoy you. That's what real freedom actually looks like. You're not going to manage him. You're not going to control him. I said in our team meeting today when I prayed, the Holy Spirit is not a gentleman. If you really want him to be in your life, then you'll have him. Because a lot of people ask me, because I wrote a book on spiritual disciplines, right? And you can read it. You can buy it downstairs. It's great. It's got great order, and I want to give handles to people that are doing spiritual disciplines. But it makes me nervous putting a book out there like that. Because people are like, this is what Parker does. This is what I should do. I saw him on Instagram one time, and he seems disciplined. I'm going to follow this. Beep, but up, but up, but that. And they're like, it's not working. It's not working. What matters is why you do it. Here's the thing. They're like, what's the order? How should I pray? How should I? You should do it genuinely. Right. You should do it in the real space that you're actually in. You should do it in a real room in your house and not an imaginary secret place. You should actually open your mouth and pray in tongues and pray. You should actually pray for other people, but do it genuinely. You should actually do it because you have a desire in your heart to actually do it. People wonder how they should do spiritual disciplines or how they should follow Jesus. You should want to, and the rest will follow. Right. You're like, well, what if I don't want to? You got to want to. Right. At least be honest with it. Right. And say the prayer out of your mouth. Be honest, and be honest with the door shut, because that's where the Father is. You're like, I don't really understand this. I don't really understand what's going on. I don't really understand how to talk to a giant, all-powerful spirit being that's also incarnated on earth and then died and rose again. Do you understand how like crazy it sounds to like make your brain connect with that? When you live in the Western world where like everything you touch is the real thing and this is the only life you have, but God says something different, you're like not computing. You're like, God, I need you to teach me. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to love you. Can you show me, please? Give me a hunger for it. And then pay attention to the people he puts in your life. Right. Pay attention to the scriptures he puts in your life. Right. Pay attention to worship. Right. Pay attention to what you're doing with your money. Pay attention to all the things in your life. You're like, if I want God, would I do this? Right. That's a really simple moral question you can ask. Right. Yeah. If I want more of God, should I do this? If my Father in heaven provides for all my needs, can I do or should I do this? Simple, simple filter. And I know every single move we've made in our life and every single thing that we've done that's on a larger scale, it's always been happening in the secret place, sometimes for years beforehand. So don't quit. Don't give up. Close the door. Your Father is a rewarder of what? Those who seek him. He rewards those who seek him. Let's stand. I don't want you to step out of here today and take this too lightly as just another message. I'd love for every single person that's here to go home today. Read Matthew 6. Read it with your family. Read it aloud. Digest it. Go over it and over it and over it and over it again and again and again. Here's why. Because this is some of the most important scripture, I think, in the entire Bible. Because being in his presence and having your Father as your actual reward will free you. It will free you from that feeling that I've got to. And the addiction to approval that every single one of us needs to get sober from. We all have it. We all just want to make people happy. We all want people to like us, right? That's why we avoid difficult conversations, right? That's why we only show certain parts of our life to people that we've trusted. I think so many times we're so addicted to what other people can give us because it's like treats, it's like candy, but it's making you sick. And your Father in heaven is the only one that can actually fulfill you. He's the only one that can actually give you what you truly desire, what you really want. And I want to remind you today that maybe you don't even know what you want. You thought you knew what you wanted when you were 18, when you were dating that person. How's that working out for you? You're like, whoa, that's not what I wanted at all. Except for you guys. I'm just going to bless you today with a desire for the Father, because I want to see a church that doesn't depend on me and Jess, that doesn't depend necessarily on your pastors for your affirmation. We don't have it in our tank, period. Because I am not eternal. I did not die for you. I did not resurrect for you. And I do not pray at the right hand of the Father and intercede on your behalf like Jesus does. I go through Jesus as my intermediary for you. I want you to be fulfilled so that you can give. Because the church was never here for you, it was always here for him. And if we can keep our eyes on him, then you'll have way more fulfillment than you think. It's just like worship songs. I love worship songs that exalt Jesus, and we sing worship songs that exalt Jesus here because I don't want to hear about myself. I'm in my own head all week long. I know my problems. I need to magnify something else. And if we can learn how to do that every day, imagine his presence going with you, his favor chasing you. What does David say? Your favor follows me all the days of my life. David doesn't say, I chase your favor, Lord. The presence of God is an attractant for favor. And sometimes you're like, oh, this is so difficult. I'm like, it's favor. Call difficulty favor. And I promise you, it will change your life. Like, what are you doing, God? Why are you favoring me with this difficulty? Because he wants you to have more of him, because he knows that's the answer. And it's always the answer. Just go to Sunday school. Say Jesus. Just say Jesus. If there's anyone here today and you're addicted to that affirmation, or it's like it's constantly on your mind, or there are difficult conversations you need to have that you haven't had, or you want people to like you going into family season, these are going to be, it's real. This is real, your boundaries and stuff like that. Like, you're going to want people to like you. But pursue the one who loves you and saved you. If that's you this morning, I just want you to put your hand up. I'll put my hand up with you. There's stuff I got to do. So I just thank you for your love, Father. That you're the one that does it. You fill the tank. And I pray for a church that pursues you in secret, so they reap a harvest of righteousness in public. Lord, may your favor come upon them. May your face shine upon them. I pray that we wouldn't be like hypocrites that out front were smiling, saying, oh, everything's fine, when really we are just wrestling brutally on the inside for a place to belong. Every single one of these people belongs in your house, Father. You love them. And all it takes to get to you is a shut door. You're already there waiting. You've already set the appointment. You've already set the time. Fill their cup to overflowing so they can lift it back up to you. In Jesus' name.